From the Alex Trebek stage at Sony Pictures Studios, this is Inside Jeopardy!
Play it!
Johnny Gilbert, I love it. Welcome everybody, Inside Jeopardy, your exclusive official podcast destination for all things happening in the world of Jeopardy. I'm Michael Davies, joined as always by producer Sarah Foss.
Well, good to see you, Michael. We made it back to Cali.
Yeah, you're wearing your 1940s style dress that you picked up there. On the East Coast. Lovely look today.
Well,
I've complimented you all day. What a beautiful dress.
I've never felt so complimented, Michael, I have to say. Thank you very much.
Certainly by me.
And you saw a lot of this outfit today because we came right now from the Alex Trebek stage where we've been busy taping Masters.
Yes, the first six episodes of Jeopardy Masters are in the can, as they say in the biz, Sarah. And wow, we can't give away anything, but wow.
Yeah, that's about how many games we played. Six quarterfinals. Wow for each of them. And of course, we'll be taping the semifinals and finals in a couple of weeks. But really, just great to see our Masters, those who are returning to the Alex Trebek stage. Great to see all of them back on the stage, competing at the pinnacle of the pyramid.
Yeah, and many other great former Jeopardy champions joining us in the audience. Just always so great to see everybody.
Well, today on the pod, we're going to be sharing some highlights from last week in regular Jeopardy. You know, it's just...
Original recipe.
That's right. It's just a couple of weeks into regular gameplay, and we already have our first regular season TOC qualifier in Allison Betts. Of course, Lisa Ann Walter will be the first official qualifier. But yeah, two females in the TOC so far.
Yeah, wonderful. Great player. I've loved watching her compete on the stage, and... you know, we now have, as you all know, lots and lots, other than what's going on in prime time.
Yes.
With Masters and ultimately Celebrity Jeopardy, we hope in the fall. We haven't heard yet, but we hope again. We have a number of consecutive weeks of Original Recipe Jeopardy until we get to the next TOC.
Yeah, so all of the remaining of 2024... When you're watching Syndicated Jeopardy, you are watching regular games. A little later in the pod, we're going to share our conversation from Ken Jennings, of course, a part of our first ever Inside Jeopardy live podcast. So stick around for that. But first, let's head back to season 30 for this week in Jeopardy history.
Julia Collins, you were leading for most of the game. Did you come up with the correct response? You did. How much money did you earn? $76.05. That's going to make you the new Jeopardy champion with $15,605. And that means you get to play again tomorrow. We'll see you then, and I hope you'll join us also.
It was on April 21st, 2014, when Julia Collins became a one-day Jeopardy champion. Of course, Julia would go on to win 20 consecutive games, 12 of which were runaways, earning over $400,000, which at the time was the third highest winning total behind none other than Ken Jennings and 19-game champion David Madden. Julia returned to compete in the Tournament of Champions that year, finishing third, and then, of course, returned for our All-Stars games as a captain in 2019. To this day, Julia still holds the seventh spot on the leaderboard of Legends for consecutive games won, and the ninth spot for highest winnings in regular season play. Julia is certainly someone who many fans are hoping to see compete again on the Alex Trebek stage, something we would all welcome as well.
Yes, certainly. Yeah, many fans and many producers, I would say as well.
Well, taking a look at some of the highlights of the week, we mentioned Allison Betts a little bit earlier. Allison returned this past week with two wins under her belt, with a dominant performance, 26 correct responses, all three daily doubles, cruising into a runaway. Plus, she was correct again in finals. So after Monday, she was 3 for 3. Now, something happened in this game that fans were very surprised about, and that is Ken made a mistake.
Whoa, what?
I know. I mean, he only made it long enough to correct himself. We didn't even have to correct him. But basically, Allison rang in and said Venice, and Ken said correct, and then he was like, wait, and it was actually Florence. So he quickly ruled Allison incorrect, but this happened so quickly, and Ken says things with such confidence sometimes that we kind of almost go, oh yeah, and then all of a sudden all of us are yelling, no. So that was a fun moment in this game, but nothing that couldn't stop the flow of Allison. In her post-game chat, she talked about, you know, hey, I'll be happy if I can just play in a way that I'm proud of. And I know people who are much better trivia players than myself who come out and lose on their first game. So I know that losing Jeopardy is not an indication of one's skill. So I was really hoping to come out here and have fun and be proud of the way I played. I feel very fortunate that I've been able to notch a couple of wins.
Yep. Wonderful. Well, on Tuesday, Allison was able to secure her fourth win. But Eric gave her a run for her money, had the lead going into final. Both Allison and Eric were incorrect in that final. And a savvy wager from second place gave Allison the come-from-behind win.
Ken caught up with our players after this exciting game. Let's hear how Allison felt about clinching a fourth win.
Eric, I want to start with you.
Sure.
That was quite a game.
Well, so I started out just extremely nervous. Kind of got into the groove a little bit there. Somehow didn't break down after messing up that daily double. And, just kind of tried to, work the buzzer as best I could.
I was wondering if psychologically that would be a tough moment to overcome.
I didn't feel it at all. It's weird.
That's great.
Yeah.
You're just numb up here.
Yeah. You can say that again.
Now, Allison, that was a tough scare for you.
Yeah.
I assume you knew the Olsen twins.
I did know the Olsen twins. I am of a certain age that it's like mandated by law to know the Olsen twins. But he was just beating me on the buzzer and he's got so much knowledge and I was desperately trying to get in. And I really thought that I was going to be saying goodnight tonight. So just amazing, amazing gameplay, both of you.
Eric had some gets, I believe Allison was kind of outscoring you on attempts, on correct responses, but you had some nice high level responses. Did you know the band Yola Tengo, or did you just know how to say I got it in Spanish?
No, I've seen Yola Tengo live. Yeah, they're great. I love Autumn Sweater.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
It's greatest. Yeah. I've seen Yola Tengo, I don't know, six or seven times.
Yeah. They're awesome.
How do you think your students will react to
watching? They're going
to
be over the moon. You know, I played a great game, and I was felt a little bad originally that I gave them this shout out and then just played like awfully. And then, so I did it for them. Yeah, for sure.
No, you came back for them. I'm glad you know that you played a strong game because
thank
was indeed
much.
Like a lot of fun to watch.
Complete dream.
And now a quick word from our sponsor.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify is there to help you grow. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person point of sale system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the US. Plus, they have the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. What I love about Shopify is how simple they've made it to grow your business. You can manage inventory, track payments, and view real-time insights all in one place. Shopify is there to support your success every step of the way because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/Jeopardy, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/Jeopardy now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/Jeopardy.
Now back to Inside Jeopardy. And on Wednesday, Allison punched her ticket to the Tournament of Champions with a bit of an exclamation point. She did that with a runaway win. Many people talking about this was a six-show day, and this game was the sixth show of the tape day. So just giving Allison so much credit, not only for pulling off that win, but pulling off a win at the end of a very long tape day. Of course, our tape days have been a bit in flux with all of the tournaments and competitions, but for those of us in JPT, we're back to five show days, unless we're talking about primetime and Masters. Well, I did have the chance to catch up with Allison after she secured that spot in the TOC. Let's take a listen. Allison Betts, you are a five-game champion and guaranteed to head to the Tournament of Champions. How does that feel?
I'm in shock. Total disbelief. When I came here today, I really just thought, as long as I do well and I play a game I can be proud of, I'll be happy. So to have this outcome is just, I feel like someone's punking me. I don't know if Ashton Kutcher's around here somewhere, but that's kind of how it feels right now.
Well, for all of us here at Jeopardy on staff and crew, but also for the Jeopardy community, people have been awaiting, regular new contestants for so many months. And right out of the gate, we get you.
I feel very fortunate again. It was great seeing Lee win that first game, that amazing come from behind win. We were all cheering in the green room for Lee. So it's nice to have kind of back-to-back female champions. I feel like maybe we don't get enough of those. So when it happens, I'm excited to see it.
And as you kept racking up additional wins, what was going through your mind?
How is this happening, essentially? I feel like I definitely had boards in my favor, although there was way too much music. You guys need to kind of work on that, in my opinion. But in general, they were good boards, and I was pretty lucky with daily doubles. I think I got all the daily doubles I got right, but there were one or two games where someone else pulled a daily double where I would not have got it. So, you know, there was definitely a lot of luck working in my favor. And it's just kind of a dream come true. You know, it's obviously you want to win, you want to play hard, you want to do your best, but you know, you're having fun. This is a game. And honestly, I really, really enjoyed playing it. Playing it the last one was a little bit more tiring, but it's still fun even when you're tired.
Well, yes, let's talk about Jeopardy production time. Today was a 6-show day. And you played in 5 of them.
Yes.
That takes a lot to continue to bring this energy and that level of focus game after game. Tell me how the day went on for you as the games went on.
Yeah, so I am local, but I live about an hour away. So that means my day started at about 5 a.m., which was a little bit early, but then got here, got to watch that first game. You know, obviously we had the practice game and I felt pretty good about it. I was really, honestly, the thing I was most concerned about was, well, there are two things: confidence, knowing to ring in and trust myself, and the buzzer is the one thing that you really can't perfectly approximate. So after I realized that, okay, I feel pretty good with this, I'm not as worried about getting the fractions of the second. So yeah, as the day went on and I was getting in, I was able to kind of stop thinking about it and starting to just a couple of friends playing some trivia on a stage.
That's all it is. With
That's all it is.
People watching, it's no big deal.
Yeah, exactly. Not a problem.
You mentioned one of the things you do is play trivia on Wednesdays at O'Brien's.
Yes.
I have to think that's a pretty good training for Jeopardy.
It is. I mean, I know people are probably thinking it's like false modesty when I say I play trivia with people who are a lot smarter than me. No, my team has never won. I think the highest we've ever come in is third place. You know, you have people like Pam Mueller, Brad Rutter, I mean, all these Jeopardy greats. And recently I actually have got the opportunity to write the quiz a couple of times. So I've hosted a few times and that's a lot of fun too. But it's a great place. Anyone who's local should drop in on a Wednesday night to O'Brien's. It's really accessible. Even if the questions are hard, you're going to have a fun time.
Well, you mentioned some of your Jeopardy friends have given you, you know, various bits of advice. What came in handy today?
I think kind of, again, the biggest thing was to trust myself and be confident, because I think that was kind of my biggest weakness is not going for it. And, you know, board control is so important that you need to roll the dice on those questions that you have a good feeling about. But then the other thing was, I was actually talking to Ben Chan a couple of days ago and, you know, said, any advice? I said, you know, I'm definitely kind of scared going in. And he said, no, remember, they should be scared of you. You should not be scared of them. I don't know if he just scared me into doing well or if those were wise words.
Well, Ben Chan, known for runaway wins. You've become known for runaway wins yourself.
Wow. Yeah. Again, I feel like I had some luck as far as categories and landing on good daily doubles and getting finals that were pretty good, except for that one, which was just so hard. So, yeah.
Yeah, let's talk about that one, because that game wasn't a runaway for you.
No.
But a savvy wager. Had you thought about wagering when it came to wagering from second place in Final Jeopardy?
Yeah, I mean, speaking of Ben Chan, love Ike, but I was so stressed.
Yes, this happened to Ike just recently.
I actually was in the audience for that taping.
Oh, wow.
So I just had this sinking feeling in my gut and when that happened for him. And today I was just like, okay, the only way I can win this is if he gets it wrong. And so I'm gonna have to make a conservative bet to make sure that I have money if that happens. But I mean, he was such a good player. I'm like, he's not gonna get it wrong. This is my swan song. I put my kids' initials back on the bottom. I was sure I was going home.
What's been the best part so far?
Again, just getting the chance to do this. I have watched Jeopardy I was born in 1984. This version started in 1984. So when I say literally my whole life, I mean quite literally my whole life. My 40th birthday is the weekend that this is airing. So, you know, getting to actually be here and play, I've come to a few tapings and I've always just really loved the energy of the place. And it's nice to have a signaling device that works instead of my thumb just frantically buzzing, you know, bouncing up and down in the audience and nothing happens. I never win from the audience. So it's fun to be able to actually do it for real.
Well, what would you say to someone who loves the show like you and is considering taking that anytime test?
First of all, everyone says it, but take the anytime test. I mean, it really is. Literally anytime. You can do it at 2:00 in the morning, anywhere you are, you can take the anytime test. A lot of my friends who I know to be brilliant people are just like, no, you're smart. I'm like, no, I'm I'm no smarter than you or anybody else. I just have a love for Jeopardy, a love for trivia. And there's so many people who just think that they wouldn't do well on the test or, oh, I don't know things like that. But I think that people should be confident in themselves and try because you might surprise yourself. You might end up a 5-day champion out of nowhere like I did.
Well, on Thursday, Marco Saric took the stage to defeat Allison after what was a very close and exciting game. The close scores forced all three players to go nearly all in. And final was a triple stumper, giving first place Marco the narrow win because of the minimal wager.
Claire McNair was chiming in on Allison Betts. Claire said, have to say there's something deeply, cosmically funny about the Jeopardy tournaments finally ending only for a contestant to immediately embark on a long winning streak. Allison responded with some emojis to that. Of course, Allison's streak does come to an end with 5 wins, but 3 runaway games, averaging 22 correct responses, found 11 daily doubles and responded to 10 of them correctly, and was 4-for-6 in finals. So looking forward to seeing Allison back in the TOC. Before Allison left us, Ken did catch up with her and all the players after this game. Let's take a listen.
That was a great game. You know, it turned out that the final Jeopardy wagering turned out to be important, but the Marco's small lead was also important.
Yeah.
You all found a daily double, which was nice, although...
Yeah, the samba.
Although Allison couldn't convert on the samba.
Yeah, I missed a samba, but that's okay. I mean, I knew this was going to be... I said to them, this was going to be the matchup that I was dreading yesterday, and they obviously both came and played super hard. And going into final, I knew I was in that position where I had to defend above and below.
And you got somebody. Yeah.
Yeah, it was a really tricky wagering decision. And so, but again, I couldn't be happier to lose.
Yeah, the Tuesday OGs.
Yeah, the Tuesday OGs.
And again, not just saying.
A week now. We've all been here a week. Yeah. So it's been amazing. Yeah.
You were the alternates for the previous 5 games.
Uh-huh.
So you got to see Allison. What's it like to come in seeing somebody win 5 times that you're going to have to play the next day?
It's very, very intimidating. It's very scary. She is incredible on the buzzer. She has a wide breadth of knowledge. And we knew that we were up against it for sure. But we also knew it would be a great match.
They were buzzing as much as I was this game. Yeah. Like, they were in there. I was having to fight them for the buzzer. So they are no slouches on the buzzer, these two. They were great.
And you had 49 attempts, Allison, to 43 for Marco. But he actually got in a few more times than you did, 22 times to your 19. So despite having less buzzer experience than Allison, Marco, you had a pretty good game.
Yeah, and I think, I buzzed on things that I shouldn't have buzzed on. I lost $2,000 on the Angora, or not Angora, but, you know. So I think that was just, you know, first game nerves. Hopefully I can build a bit more.
Yeah, buddy.
Yeah.
And with the audience in mind, you were trying to make it close down the stretch. I like that.
Yeah, I'm always doing it for the content.
Great
you
game.
Know?
Marco, congratulations on your win.
Thanks so much.
Allison, we'll be seeing you in the TOC.
Crazy.
Time to start studying up.
Factor's ready-to-eat meals make eating better every day easy. When my schedule gets busy, it's nice to have pre-prepared, chef-created, and dietitian-approved meals delivered right to my door. With over 35 different options a week to choose from and over 55 nutrition-packed add-ons, make your weekly meal planning even more delicious and easy with Factor. Plus, Factor meals are 100% ready to heat and eat, so there's no prepping, cooking, or cleaning up. Get started today and have a feel-good week of meals ready to go. Head to factormeals.com/Jeopardy50 and use code Jeopardy50 to get 50% off. That's code Jeopardy50 at factormeals.com/Jeopardy50 to get 50% off.
Yeah.
So on Friday, Marco returned and managed to close out the week with his second win despite a hard-fought battle by Scott Nations.
And this is one of those games where in Final Jeopardy, you know, Marco said he was really nervous when he saw the Final Jeopardy category, comic book characters, but lucked out with the response of Harley Quinn. Apparently, he and his girlfriend dressed as the Joker and Harley
Amazing.
Quinn for Halloween in college. You just never know how these things are going to come full circle. Marco even added a little heart and diamond in his Final Jeopardy response, which of course referred to little Joker emojis, Michael.
Wonderful.
Well, we're doing something special for our host chat this week. You know, we have a special edition. We're going to share our conversation with Ken from the Inside Jeopardy Live podcast. Let's take a listen.
Oh, I love it.
Woo-hoo!
Courage.
Thank you so much. What a welcome.
Wow, Ken Jennings. Thanks for coming. I know you've got a big week next week.
Oh, yeah, Masters.
Masters, yeah.
But, you know, I decided I'd take a second out from my busy schedule and come on my favorite podcast, Inside Jeopardy.
Yes, Ken is our best plug, or he does that during the studio audience tapings.
Every time Sarah tells me, plug the podcast, I eagerly do so.
Yeah, I'm that voice in Ken's ear that he never knew he loved so much, right, Ken?
The only reason the show gets hosted plausibly is because Sarah is saying, Ken, you screwed up. Ken, you screwed up.
Or Ken, you're awesome, which is, I know, what we all feel. Yeah. So I have to ask, you've had some pretty great moments in the last, you know, couple of years since you started hosting. Is there a highlight?
You know, last year's Masters was something else. When you're a contestant in a very closely fought, stressful Jeopardy game, you're kind of enjoying it, but a big part of your brain cannot enjoy it because you are putting your nervous system through something crazy going on a high-pressure situation like that. And I find that now that I'm hosting, I can enjoy these high-pressure situations stress-free, you know? Like, like Matea getting James on the ropes towards the end of Masters last year, that was fantastic. I was so relieved that that was not me at any of those podiums.
Yeah, you know a little something about playing against James and what that can do to someone's nervous system, right?
I'm getting flashbacks just seeing him behind the podium.
Well, you often answer Q&As with our audience. I have to ask, what's been the most surprising or interesting question that someone has come up with for you?
I saw on social media people wanted to know what my favorite cheese was.
Oh. Inquiring wow. minds want to know.
Hard to imagine what the use case is for this question. What is this person going to do with this information once they know? Can you imagine? You folks watch Jeopardy sometimes. How often are you wondering, I wonder what the host's favorite cheese is?
Is this person Dutch by any chance? It sounds like a very Dutch
question. Are
they
hoping for
me.
Gouda?
Could they be from Wisconsin?
Yes.
Are they going to build a life-size statue of me out of the cheese of my choice?
I feel like that's been done, no?
I don't know. I'm definitely going to pick a firm cheese just in case.
Okay, good.
That's their plan.
So you haven't decided yet?
I'm not going to say Burrata because I want the statue to look good. How about Manchego, Spanish Manchego cheese? It's very mellow. Yes, thank you. Give it up, please, for queso Manchego. Thank you.
So my question is very inside, so inside that I should probably ask you this at work rather than when we're on a stage in
this
front of all
very
these
Michael.
People and with New York City. And wow, it just gets more beautiful every second.
Look at that.
So I've known you for quite a long time, certainly before my time at Jeopardy. We developed a quiz show with each other, Ken Jennings versus the rest of the world for Comedy Central, never got on the air. But we developed that in the wake of Winbenstein's Money, actually in the wake of you obviously coming off your amazing performance on Jeopardy. You're then on Grand Slam.
You won Grand Slam,
a UK format that we had on Game Show Network. But even on Ken Jennings versus the rest of the world, I saw potential as a host. But I have to admit to you now, quite a small P. When I came
Wait, a small P in potential, right?
Yes.
Okay. Very. This is what you meant by two inside Jeopardy?
But when I came to Jeopardy, I'd seen your guest hosting. I got to watch you on stage. That suddenly became a very big P, Ken. And now, working with you day after day after day, and I say all the time that this wasn't our work, it was your work. We don't deserve credit, you deserve credit. But you now make something that is so difficult look so easy. And yet I am sure there are parts of it which is like a duck on water that underneath you must be paddling like hell and thinking right. about it. What are those moments that you do find hard?
First of all, thank you for the kind words. And thanks to everybody on the show for their patience with a very big P as I kind of got up to speed. Because really, without the patience and the training of the very knowledgeable and experienced Jeopardy staff and crew, it would have been an impossible show to host instead of merely, as Michael points out, a very difficult one. I would not have thought that I had that potential, but thanks to the show being such an amazing format and the people who work there being so good at their jobs, I was able to give it a shot. The hardest parts surprised me. I found Final Jeopardy very difficult at first because I thought, well, you know, it's just the same thing the player does, but from the other side of it. But really, the host is going off a card that's full of numbers. You know, here's what she had, here's what the wager was. So if she gets it right, it's this. If she gets it wrong, it's this. Yesterday, she had this. So her three-day total would be this if it's right. If it's wrong, her three-day total is actually that. And so they just give you this mind-boggling Sudoku of a card with, like, parallel universes branching out off of it. And it was not intuitive at all. The other thing I've noticed is the we've talked about the endless tournaments that were not our choice, but now that we've had new contestants on, you realize the difference is not really gameplay. It's just how comfortable they are being on television, being a Jeopardy contestant. And so there's something I want to do where if somebody's not comfortable, I'm like, look, I remember how that was. I remember that deer in the headlights feeling, you know, how can I settle that person down? Is there a way to bring them out in the interview? Is there a way to get them to laugh, to catch them off guard, to actually enjoy this moment? Because I think they deserve that, and the moment often goes by.
I'm going to give you a chance because, you know, one thing that I love about when you take audience questions at the Alex Trebek stage is when you talk about Alex and how you marveled at his ability as both a fan and a contestant and his friend at the way he hosted this program. What is it still that Alex had that there are, I know you've said yourself, there are things that he did that you can never do, but what are the qualities he had that you aspire to have more on this show?
You know, I'm never gonna have the voice. I'm never gonna be the good-looking silver fox, the Canadian silver fox that we were so lucky to have with Alex.
Mustache won't be happening? We won't see a mustache?
I don't think you're gonna like it if you ever see it.
Got it. Thinking about it.
You will see the ratings drop, I think. But I do think that the thing about Alex that I always admired as a contestant, you would just marvel at his flawlessness. You know, somehow he had this presence of mind where he had a governor in mind that kept him from almost never making a mistake on that stage. You know, he would occasionally read over a clue during a commercial break. Not that often. And just everything else that came out was just kind of perfectly manicured and ready for air because of just decades of broadcasting experience. And I think, I don't know how you do that, but it seems like he figured it out. That must be achievable. I aspire to just that kind of perfection where he has that control at all times.
Are you looking to do a couple more game shows? Maybe Family Feud, if that ever becomes available. Concentration.
And I'd love to be on Family Feud, let's be honest.
That was my childhood dream, was a Family Feud contestant, and our family never got on, so...
There you go.
I think we could probably make a call, Ken, and make that happen for the Jennings family. That would be amazing.
I now have to think, do I have four members of my family who I would not mind seeing on national TV? That's the Family Feud calculus.
Yeah, I think in the new Celebrity Family Feud, because I think you'd be on Celebrity Not Regular, it's just my guess. I think they're very loose with the definition of family, and you can bring on all sorts of people.
Yeah, I'd audition.
We can join you, Ken.
Yeah, my new fake relative.
Yes, this will be us. Well, you brought up Alex, and one of the traditions that you continue to honor is answering questions with our audience. I'm sure all of you would rather ask your own question than hear from us, so we're going to take a few. So raise your hand if you have a question for Ken.
Does anyone want to ask me anything? Who here has been to a Jeopardy taping, by the way? Show of hands. A few of you. So this is what the commercial breaks are. It's a Q&A to entertain the crowd. There was one here, right? Yeah. Oh, interesting question. Does working in software prepare you to be the host of Jeopardy? I mean, there is a sense of orderly thinking, of algorithm, you know, here's what happens at this decision, and here are the three possibilities. And I would like to think that helped, except that I was such a terrible computer programmer. I'm not sure that it actually made my thinking rigorous at all.
I really look forward to giving the note. It's like, Ken, we need a little bit more software engineering in that monologue. That would really, we need
the audience can tell.
Yeah, exactly.
It's not software engineering enough. How about here, the young man in the front row?
As a host, what's your favorite category?
Ooh, my favorite category. When you're the host, you like it when they're tricky. Like when you're playing, the last thing you want is one of these high concept, these are all 16 letter words with a V in the exact middle. You know, like, the contestants are like, no. But let me tell you about the host. I have all the correct responses. So now I'm like, yeah, the more high concept, the better. Especially if it's Masters or JIT or something, you know, bring it. Let's see if these folks can do this. I like it when we ask a lot of them because then they surprise us.
I just read the Masters material, by the way. Have you read it, Ross?
I have not seen the games.
Wow, the Masters material is going to give you something to really sink your teeth into. It's so good.
Well, I was on the record that the JIT stuff was very hard, and then the games played out. You know, we had Victoria. We had all these players who just made it look like Kids Week.
And you love a Johnny Gilbert category as well.
Oh, those are my favorite.
Who doesn't?
When Johnny gets to do hip-hop or...
Shakespeare.
90s torch songs, New Jack Swing. That's what we love, right?
Nobody does it better.
It's great.
Nobody does it better. I feel like I'm just concentrating too much on this area. So how about you with the hat, sir? Somebody asked me the other day a similar meta question, which is, what's a question you don't get asked enough? And I didn't have a good answer, but today I do. I wish people would ask me more advice column kinds of questions at the break.
Like dating advice?
Or kind of why advice? Am I not giving relationship advice?
Okay.
To the people in the studio.
Makes sense.
So who's got a question about who brought their significant other? No, I'm just kidding.
I think we can introduce that. Jeopardate. We'll do that. That would be very... That will work very well.
Coming to a station near you, yes.
Don't say that to a television producer. That's like, we're going to sell that idea.
At a minimum, it should be a segment on the podcast,
yes,
Michael.
Yes, it should be. That's very good. Okay, we can
arrange. There's been a lot of love stories on Jeopardy, so it could, be a segment.
That's
yeah.
right. Over here. How about over here? Yes. First of all, I love to talk about Johnny Gilbert, one-of-a-kind Jeopardy legend.
Yes.
9,000-something straight shows without missing a beat. When you think about how Don Pardo lived to be over 100, it turns out the secret to life is just to announce Jeopardy.
Who knew?
The secret to immortality. You know, there's no bigger thrill than hearing him say your name as a contestant. And I have to say, it's the same every time that he announces me as host. And I realized it once when I was watching at home, like I suddenly just got choked up hearing him say my name. And I wrote him a little note and I sent it to him because I was like, what if I don't, you know, John doesn't come in anymore. What if I don't see him soon? Let me just tell him how much this means to me when he says my name. And he sent me the loveliest email back. And then I saw him a couple times. I saw him at the Christmas party. I saw him when he came in for show 9000. And, you know, he is still going strong in his mid-90s and... you know, Johnny Gilbert is goals, basically. Like, we all want to be Johnny Gilbert.
Yes.
And as for a day on Jeopardy, it's basically Alex's day because we're still doing 5 in a day, sometimes more. And Alex used to come in early to look at all the clues and games for the day. The main difference between me and Alex in that respect is that I am not a working class hero, you know, and a Canadian working class gentleman like Alex Trebek. I'm not a morning person. I don't want to be here at 6 looking at Jeopardy games. So I often look at the games the evening before, and then I come in the morning. But it's all the same thing, meeting with the writers where we go through all the games, kick the tires on every category. I'll often have questions for them. So if they say this instead of that, you know, which pronunciation sounds least weird to you? Could we turn this around so it's easier for me to read? You know, just kind of small style notes like that. The material is always amazing. And then I say hi to the contestants. That's actually something Alex did not do. I think maybe he thought it would step on his intro a little, but I know how nervous they are. And so any little thing I can do to be like, hey, welcome to Jeopardy. Try to have a fun day. Like, I promise we're going to get through this. You can come through the other side of this. It's going to be fun, I promise. And then while they're rehearsing, I get hair and makeup on, and then we do 5 shows. It has really not changed
sometimes
that much.
Sometimes six.
I think once 7? Am
I
making
this up? We did 7 in last year's TOC, yeah.
Not a huge fan of 7.
No, I'm not either. Well, this is going to conclude our first part of the evening, which is our first ever Inside Jeopardy! Live. Thank you so much for being a part of it.
Okay, Sarah, that wraps up today's episode. It's been a long day here at Jeopardy! And Jeopardy! Masters. We'll be back next week for more game highlights as Marco goes for his third win today.
Can't wait to see what happens. We will see you all next week.